So, unfortunately, our chimes are not on the recording tonight, but they're in your cells and your cellular structure. Now, this is the 28th of April. I'm Mark Stanton Welch, and this is Tools for the Times. And this is Session 5, Multidimensional Living. And I have to say that I am all over the map tonight because this multidimensional thing has kind of sent me in a lot of different directions. So hopefully I'll be able to continue to make sense to you guys. And if not, we always have the beauty of the information that's passed on, at least by the following second day. Last week I was I had every intention to have it out in the morning, and in fact it was done, but I got involved in another project, and I realized at the last minute of the next day that I hadn't sent it out. So my apologies for that. I will get some of my runners on that to make sure that that is tended to this time. So the idea of multidimensional living, gosh, you're thinking, you know, it's just sometimes challenging enough to make it in this particular one-dimensional world that we live in this third-dimensional land, and we're going to open up to all kinds of others. Well, yes, we are, because that's where the vibration is headed. And it's not that we're delivering information tonight, that I'm offering information that is unfamiliar to you, because this has been the design of the cosmos since its inception, if indeed there ever was such a thing as an inception of the cosmos. But it's something that we've been familiar with in terms of our movement through lives, our movement through the time between lives. Back in the historical days, we call them the prehistorical days, which were actually some of the most cognizant and wise and most connected times in the history of the incarnates on planet Earth. The tendency is from the arrogance of humanity in these times is to say that we are so much more advanced than we used to be. Well, the jury's out on that one, because the advancement has been such a mental process at the expense of really the emotional element, the physical element, the spiritual element, and all of the elements beyond those that allow us to connect to the continuum of experience that has gone on for millions of years here. The things that were that civilizations were capable of in the distant past cannot even be explained in current times. And we're talking about some standard things like the creation of the putting together the pyramids, some of the great obelisks and some of the great statuary that are huge and weigh thousands of tons, where just a group of humans didn't have the capacity to do such a thing. So the attempt to solve things from the framework of the intellect and of the mind can only lead to certain results, and probably predictable results. But the truth is that when we start to begin to realize and to take into our own awareness and call forth this knowing that we are beyond a single dimension, internally as well as externally, the cosmos itself, the earthly plane, the design of our inner being, the spiritual connections that we have are in a hierarchy, in a sense, and in a series of dimensions. And when I say the word dimension like this, I'm always thinking of the Twilight Zone, about a particular dimension submitted for your approval, where things begin to happen that were out of the ordinary. See, the greatest challenge for humanity, I believe, at least civilized world, is to look at things out of the norm. Because the norm provides supposedly this comfortable place from which to live predictably. Now, the irony of that is that while all of that is going on, life is so unpredictable and everything is anything but normal, and the fact that the normal changes on a regular basis, and even more so these days. If you look at the fashion world, if you look at the world of music, if you look at the arts, et cetera, some of these things change so quickly that it's very difficult to keep up, and it's also very damaging to the sense of value that each of us carries. You know, when I look back at the four sessions that lead to this one, I realize that what we're doing here is reactivating a very, very specific vibration that is very deep for all of us. I don't know where you're going with the material. I don't know if you're spending some extra time, and I understand that this is very demanding. This may be something you just have available that when you feel the call, you'll come to it. And by no means has any of these sessions been complete. It would be well beyond the scope of our hour and now an hour and a half to be able to even establish anything but foundational elements of each of these topics. And when we look at the next 23 topics, it seems like a lot, but boy, it'll pass rather quickly. When we look at these other topics, we realize what we're doing is we're opening up a lot of doors for each of us. Some of these things, like when I do the research here, I'm finding that there are certain elements of topics that just pull me in, and I just want to immerse myself in it. I'm sitting here with a series of books stacked on the desk and opened at various places as we're working tonight. One of these called The Alchemy of Nine Dimensions, which is by a woman named Barbara Hanclough. She is connected with the Pleiadian energy and also shamanic work. Another one by a fellow named Tom Kenyon up in Seattle area. It's called The Great Human Potential, Walking in One's Own Light. I have here from Drumvalo Melchizedek, The Ancient Secret of the Flower of Life, Volume 1 and Volume 2. I have Cindy Dale's book on subtle anatomy. I'm looking also at a wonderful book. All of these are wonderful, but this one in particular has some elements called Ascension Magic. Christopher Penzack, coming more from a Wiccan and, earth spirituality perspective on this. It's just filled with information. I have Cryon, a channeled book from 2013, The Recalibration of Humanity. Diana Cooper's book, 2012 and Beyond, that talks about the unfolding portals that are opening up and have opened up really since the crossing over of 2012 and the movement into the new frequency, that these things are opening up and have opened up. And also, I'm sitting here with the Pleiadian workbook by Kuan Yin, Barbara Marciniak's Path of Empowerment, and a great book from the actual 1990s, so long ago, the third millennium, Living in the Post-Historic World by Ken Carey. And all of these books were passing on information that people weren't necessarily even understanding or were ready for or able to even integrate. But they were put out there at a time when the vibration was being exponentially altered. And so tonight, to do some justice to the idea of multidimensional living, requires that we look at a bunch of different elements for ourselves. So first of all, I'm just going to ask you to speak your true name, which is your first, your middle, your last. It was on your birth certificate. And in so doing, you call yourself back to your original design. You also open yourself up to creating a space of a cocoon of safety for yourself. Once again, safety strictly being keeping your vibration at the place of highest revolution, so you can be in your presence, in your power, in your capacity to embrace the information. And thirdly, to open yourself up to all of the angels, teachers, guides, etheric beings that are aligned to the frequency of that name. So we're going to speak it seven times in honor of the seven directions. These very sacred directions are coming into play tonight in ways beyond the Native American ritual. So on the count of three, I invite us to speak that name seven times. One, two, three. Mark Stanton Welch. 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 That may have been a pinch to grow in. I don't know. I start speaking that name, and I start to disappear into some area that I remember very, very well as a boy. It was a very safe place. It was out there on the field. Well, it was outside the house. It seemed like a field. I had an opportunity to go back and visit my kindergarten classroom. This was obviously 40 or 45 years later. Fortunately, the building was still standing, and I remember Mrs. Koenig in there, the kindergarten teacher.
my visual of that room was that it was expansive. And I remember with a little toy truck that I would go across the entire floor, and it seemed to take me an eternity to get across there. When I revisited it as an adult with all my experience, I refused. I could not believe that this was the same room. It was so tiny. But there was no indication that that room had been altered in any way or changed, except basically just upgraded, but not for the size of it. And this is a very powerful bit of information because, one, I have just gone back through dimensions and through time and through space to remember very clearly and precisely an element of my journey. That capacity to do that is part of what is involved here in living in multiple dimensions. The idea of a dimension is that it's a layer of frequency. It's a particular density, and it's actually aligned with a particular hierarchy of vibration. By hierarchy of vibration, we heard the piano at the beginning. I just ran a C scale up about the octave above middle C. Da 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 da. And if I was measuring each of those notes, I would realize that each was vibrating at a higher frequency as measured by what's called Hertz, H-E-R-T-Z. That's the idea of the dimensions. The dimensions have frequency, they have vibration, they have density. And in this idea, our journey of remembering and reawakening is about increasing our vibration. We'll begin to see how the third dimension actually vibrates at a certain band of frequencies that work specifically for the dimension. Anything below it in the first and second dimensions, we're going to find that they oscillate in a very, very much slower and denser capacity, whereas anything above the third is obviously in a higher frequency and vibrating at a much faster rate. And to the point that by we reach the fifth dimension, we actually have no need anymore for a physical form because it's moving way too fast. It starts to get into the realm of science fiction. It starts to get into woo-woo land. It starts to open up these places that we've been told not to go. This is not a Pandora's box, but it's basically Pandora's treasure chest. When we start to open the idea of exploring and remembering, reawakening our awareness to that which our design is and to that which we are here to experience, everything begins to be worth celebrating. So the reason I'm starting out this way, I guess, is just to begin to plant seeds for us, to open up a sense of anticipation. We most likely we're going to do some activities that will lift us into different awarenesses and different dimensions in a sense, and we'll be able to experience that. I know that everybody on this phone call has had multiple experiences where you found yourself in different places at the same time. And we'll look at how some of these things work. So let me underscore what is multidimensional first. Well, before I do that, let's just do this. Become aware of yourself in the chair or wherever you are in your house. Now, as you're sitting in the room that you are, become aware of another room in the house and put your awareness there. Start noticing and recalling what it is that is in that room. At the same time, you're also looking around the room that you're in or being present exactly where you are. I'm putting myself into my own recording studio, which is a couple rooms away from where I'm sitting right now, in my so-called office, kitchen, dining area. Obviously a multi-purpose room. But I can easily recall the setup there, the pieces that are there. I can put myself in the chair, which is the control room. And I can experience being here talking to you at the same time I am in there. The simultaneous capacity to project into two or more places is a demonstration of our capacity to be multidimensional
And all we're going to do is build upon these very easy elements and start to open it up to something even more fantastic. So let me give you a moment to do that. I just talked you through mine. So I'm going to go ahead and give a moment here, sip some tea, and go ahead and put yourself in one room, perhaps two rooms, do a couple things at a time, but also keep coming back to your awareness of where you are physically in the room where you're actually sitting. Like so many of the concepts that we've been working with and so many of the ideas, it really is your awareness of it that kicks it into motion. Most of these things are not something that we've given attention to before for any length of time. But the minute you start bringing your awareness to give your attention, to bring your intention into learning about it, and learning is really just reawakening to the information contained in it, the more things start to reveal themselves. I keep referring to it as building certain muscles. You have to exercise them. You have to exercise them to begin to work. These capacities that we're working with are really about exercising ourselves through, first, awareness that there are alternatives, and then secondly, giving ourselves permission to actually embark upon a journey of increasing our awareness, our understanding, our experience of these particular elements. Once again, what is multidimensional? Dimension is a frequency of particular density aligned in a hierarchy of vibration. The lower the vibration, the lower the frequency, and the lower the dimension. Each dimension has a set of characteristics, degree of light, guidelines, laws, substances, forms, paradigms, and activity that expresses it, that represents it, that in a sense limits it to the frequency. No dimension is worse than others, as they are each necessary for the full life. Our expansion is our main goal of the times. Our reawakening to the fullness of our design, as well as the dimensional opportunities and the frameworks that exist for us, is the primary purpose of being here in many ways. Since the early epochs, and especially during the Piscean Age, humans have been sequestered mentally to the third dimension, which is where we are, 3D. Lifetimes of particular programming and has removed the understanding of the fluid capacity we have to move between existing dimensions. And we are told that any lower frequency is dark and evil, and that anything higher is woo-woo or inaccessible to ordinary humans. And as we shall see and touch some elements tonight, we're going to see that nothing could be further than the truth. To become multidimensional is to first be made aware that the dimensions do exist. So, let's go there. And I'm referring pretty significantly to a book called The Ascension Magic. And this is by Christopher Penzack. Now, the definitive bit of information about the dimensions is not in yet, but there is a certain tendency to lean towards some of the most recent channeled information that's coming through Barbara Handclaw and other specific channels bringing information in from the Pleiades. So when they channel Pleiadian energy, what they are doing is bringing in personal experience from the Pleiadian channel about the nature of, the bigger nature of things, and also the creation, if you will, of the earthly dimension. Again, we're kind of in science fiction land, but I am talking to the part of you that has no resistance to this. I'm reminding your cells of the expanse of what they are and how far back they go, how far forward, how far up, how far down, how far to the right, to the left, all of those directions they have gone and continue to go. There's the seven planes of existence that's been around for quite some time, and some of it is related specifically to chakras. It's worth looking at because it has relevance. But the main element of tonight, and again, I'm only going to touch on the top of it, you can get into the alchemy of the nine dimensions if you choose, and I will have that as an actual bibliography. I know I have said I'm going to do that. And I just, for some reason, didn't think it was important after I even said that. No offense, but tonight it is. Because this stuff starts to get into such different dimensions, if you will, that it's necessary to have some additional backup. So seven planes of existence basically are based upon the human and the material plane is the first level. It's the physical plane. And this physical plane, in terms of vibration, is the most dense. When I say the most dense, I refer to the most physical. Some things are harder than others. In this material plane, you have rock, stone, lead, metal, those kinds of things that are very dense. And then you also have sand. You also have physical flesh, where things are very much less dense in vibration. The thing to remember it throws a wrench in some of the perspectives on the physical dimension is that everything is in vibration. And that quantum mechanics has shown us, and quantum physics has shown us, that everything has space in it. And what we used to perceive as solid is really nothing more than a particular arrangement and agreement by a set of atoms, molecules, et cetera, that are arranged and carry a field and a force around them that has been supported by some of the physical laws of this dimension, which mainly is gravity. So we immediately are cast out of our particular perspectives on how limited things are and how formed they are. The word on the street is that the form is the least reliable element of anything. In that we're saying that the form of an event, the form of a moment, the form of the memory, all of those things typically are influenced so much by our own perceptions and our own prejudices, our own filters, that we half the time don't know what is quote-unquote real and what isn't. Reality on one level is what you or I or any of us create in the moment that we stand in it. And there's growing evidence that the dimensional cooperation that occurs is so profound that our capacity to manifest our next moment is so easily put together once we understand how to do it. And in a sense, and I keep coming back to this, not to rag on the Piscean Age or any of the epics just before it, but there has been a long period of time where we're diverted consciously from understanding just how beautiful and magnificent we are. And that has had a high cost that has created a long-standing field of resistance that has solidified certain elements within our physical being that have caused us to be in a place of resistance and doubt and actual disbelief about many of these concepts. And under the threat of established religion for centuries, we have been warned of the danger of going to places that you're not equipped to go to. When all along, those who were warning us had access to these places that were really part of the design. So be it. And be that as it may, once again, the intervention of the cosmos has given us back our right to know and our understanding of the way things are. And because of that, we are headed down the grand highway. I have a picture on this page, and you'll see it when you get it tomorrow or by the next day at the latest, of a man out in the field, and he's standing in the green, and there's a sky with clouds right above it. He has leaned down, and he's pulled up the curtain, which is the sky, to reveal another reality just behind it, another dimension just behind it. We can move through these dimensions so easily and so quickly once we begin to realize the parameters. Okay. The seven planes of existence, a physical plane, followed next by the etheric plane, and it closely resembles the physical. It provides the energetic spiritual template upon which the physical world is based. In other words, you have a physical, and then just above it, you have a template that puts it into motion, if you will. The etheric realm is considered the blueprint of the physical world. And when you want to make changes in your physical world, you go to the etheric plane first, and you begin to insert the information, which is the intention, the new design, the new form that you desire, and then you let it filter down into the physical through your repeated intention and the energetic support that you would give it. This is how stuff is made. Ideas do not come from the physical plane. Ideas literally come from what they're calling here is the mental plane, which makes total sense, but they are more influenced by the emotional plane right below it. So let's just name the seven. You have the physical, the etheric, the astral, the emotional, the mental, the psychic, and the divine. And if you want to attach chakras 1 through 7 there, you can, with the physical being the root chakra, the etheric and the movement and the energy and the design of the template as the sacral and second chakra, the astral, the land of movement and unfettered action, which is basically the astral and the solar plexus, the heart and its capacity to feel is the emotional plane, the throat chakra being the expression of words, ideas, intentions is the mental. Third eye is the psychic, and then the crown is the divine plane. The beauty of the design of our energy bodies is that we are constantly in access of all of those planes at the same time. The intention behind the idea of ascending, of, in other words, gaining the higher vibration, is to move through these planes to increase our vibration and thus expand our interaction and connection with the cosmos that we live in, in the dimension that we live in. Up in the astral plane, after we've gone from the etheric, the astral is a realm of idealized form. Astral forms are affected by energy and intention and emotion, whether directed at them or consciously or unconsciously. It's the realm of spirits, from beneficent spirit guides to ghosts. It's related to the dream plane and the collective consciousness. The astral plane responds to strong emotions and as the emotions influence the shape and form of the astral energy. If you want to know what the astral is, just go right to your dreams. Because the limitations of the physical have been reduced. In other words, you're able to move freely in that dimension from place to place just by the shift of a thought or the shift of a breath or the shift of a scene. We find ourselves in a dream state going back and forth. You perhaps have flown in your dreams and realized that capacity of being totally free and unfettered, and you would also know that in the process of floating around like that and moving, you have a cord that's tethered back to your actual physical body. There is a constant relationship between the dimensions that we can continue to explore and expand into. The emotional plane is really just that. It's part of the astral, but it's considered, in a sense, the higher astral, which then allows it to move into the realm of more divine beings, guided beings, angelic energies that are floating around in that area, and where you have your contact with your guides, etc., etc. The ascended masters are there, and it's a place where we seed our spiritual evolution. Moving from there is the mental plane. As we go up into the mental plane, it's the realm of ideas and concepts. It's where information, abstract concepts, and communication take place. Not a whole lot more to say about that, except thoughts are things. And in the old theosophical treatises that were back at the turn of the century, of the 19th or 20th century, between the 19th and 20th, the theosophical information by a fellow named C.W. Leadbeater, and some others that were talking about the nature of thought forms. Powerful stuff that has been usurped and utilized in current form by people who are they're owning it as their own. But these are things that have been around for quite some time. that once a thought is put into motion, the thought doesn't go away. The forms move around, they magnetize one another, they gain support, they interfere with one another, they manifest and magnetize everything that they can to bring them into fruition. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful experience at times. Up into the psychic plane, and in the psychic plane we have the divine vision of who we are, where we are, and where we wish to be. And when you remember something or project an image from a wish to a fear into the future, you're working on the psychic plane. It's the place where you go for your intuition. It seems to me that with this model, as we bring it to the divine plane, which is divine mind, the field of energy that surrounds and interpenetrates the other six planes, it is the container and the source of all creation. This particular viewpoint is contained by our own understanding of our body and the energies we feel within it. It carries within it a comforting arrangement, but it also carries with it limitations. So I'm not going to spend much more time. In fact, I'm moving on from that seven plane, except to say with these seven planes, you also have seven additional subplanes within each of the seven, which then makes 49 different levels that we move through from the grossly physical to the divine. So what is this information? What is it worth? What it's worth is to have an understanding of our own movement and progression and what we can give our attention to. We don't necessarily have to follow a sequential process through these. We can call upon and spend time in the psychic plane, much like intuitives do. And they will spend and pull information from there more often than they will from some of the other places. And there are those that spend a great deal more time in the emotional plane. There are those in the mental plane. The ideal is that we call it all to our own ability to use. A balanced being has the connection with the body. And this is where the spiritual path has been rather destructive for actually being connected to the physical. Too many spiritual path and seekers have left the body because of the pain that lives in the body. The pain that lives in the body is the unprocessed and unexpressed emotional energy from the moments of living. More often than not, things unsaid that find their way into the viscera and the energy bodies and around the chakras. We've talked about these before, and we'll go into it more in depth when we really start looking at the chakras again, from the front, the back, the top, and the bottom. All right, I just completely disappeared. I felt like I was gone for eons. Wow, that was interesting. Okay, so I have to bring myself back here, and I have no idea what I was just talking about. I think it was the seven planes of existence and adds to seven levels. Oh, we can actually transcend between those and go, the ideal is that we pull in elements of each of these to be fully physical and then to have awareness of how we can feed information from the etheric plane into the physical. And then we can go ahead and use the astral to experience what it's like to be unfettered and to call forth the connections with the energetic forms that are in that particular dimension. And to actively engage the dream state, because the dream state is more than just these idle visions and these idle images that come through. They are very, very significant in that they are tied significantly to the emotional world. Dreams are often the processing of unexpressed emotion. They often involve people, places, things, situations of which we had immediate contact with, but always, well, that's a word I don't use very often, but that's what came out, they always are tied to other elements. So the appearance of my mother or appearance of a female in a dream is often more than what appears in terms of its initial meaning, that it is calling upon and clearing and helping to clear out other residue of emotional elements. So to have an active dream world is really quite useful. To move into the astral by consciousness is to actually begin and engage in what's called astral travel, where you just go into an altered state and you travel into this dimension, and it is in this capacity that we'll often go ahead and run into some wayward spirits. In the time of post-death, what happens is for some, and some say this, is that there's a period of reevaluation and a period of confusion. You take the people that are involved in the collective tragedy where one minute they're here and the next minute they're not. I'm thinking of the 9/11 when one of the planes went right into the tower, and those people were incinerated in that moment collectively and together. That there's a certain sense of disbelief that occurs in a certain period of time where there's a limbo-ness before it really sinks in that they have transcended that particular earthly dimension and left the physical, because it sure seems like we're still in the physical. So a lot of times in the astral world, you have energies wanting to come back that are unwilling to let go. And in some ways, if you have a haunted house or if you have a place that seems to have some weird energy in it, chances are you have some spirits and some beings who aren't quite ready to go or were never given permission to go. So one of the beautiful things that we can do in the process of supporting that is to, when we run into something, knowing full well that the light is always higher in frequency than any darkness, we give permission for these beings to be sent to the light. And oftentimes, in the name of the Christ essence, now we're talking about the high design of frequency of each of us, in the name of the Christ essence, I send you to the light. And so it is. This is a very, very powerful and potent and time-tested element that will allow us to separate ourselves from entities and those kinds of energies. Of course, we've been Hollywooded all up to think that the energy of evil and darkness is so intense that we have no power over it whatsoever. I've never been one to believe that. And I've always known that there are ways to work through situations and to call for support and energetic support. This is part of the multidimensional reality that we live in. There are places that we have to move through to gain greater clarity and move into higher frequencies. And sometimes we get challenged a little bit. It's all light. Okay. I don't think there's much left to say on that particular one, but what I invite you to do, and to be a balanced human, is to be fully in body, to be able to move with our emotion and trust our emotion and move it through us easily, to have clarity of thought, to be open to the point that we have the intuitive connection and allow ourselves to be flooded with the divine energy that connects us with the earth so that we are balanced by both of those sides. So as a practice, we realize where we have tendencies to be in one or the other, or more so in one, or to be resistant or hesitant to be in one. To use this information is to be willing to stand in one of these and work the energies there so that you begin to balance them. And at the same time, as I'm in my physical and aware of the sensations going through me, I'm also up in perhaps the psychic plane, calling in visions, intuitions, ideas, information that can assist me in dealing with the moment that I'm in. And at the same time, I'm seeding those through the emotion center, running those things through my heart chakra. So you're beginning to see that multidimensional isn't about necessarily space travel, like Star Trek. It's really about living in moments more fully. And the more we choose to look at our moments as having more than meets the eye, because one of the great sayings that I keep using, and I call it great, is that nothing is as it seems. There's always more to it. The form is the least reliable. So look beyond it. Look underneath it. Look above it. All right, move beyond that particular, I was going to call it a theory, but it's just one of the ideas about the organization of the dimensions. But the one that is most interesting to me and to many now is the one that comes through Barbara Hanclough and other channels called the Nine Dimensions of Light, or the Dimensions of Light. Actually, there are way more than nine, but the ones that are really significant because they relate to our life here on earth are the first. Looks like 13. So obviously we're just going to touch on each of these, but there's certain elements about it. According to this particular perspective, okay, I'm just looking at some of the notes that I wrote down here. Again, the dimensions are a particular resonance. You can change your energy to resonate with a different dimension and project consciousness into that level of awareness. And this is more in line with what has been called a shamanic practice, where you do some journeying, where you travel between the dimensions. That's certainly been one safe place, if you will, for it to be expressed and to be accepted by culture. And even the Western civilization acknowledges and honors your shamanic practices, because a lot of times people who have not had much luck in traditional Western practices will go behind doors and closed doors and clandestine activity to get healed or to get cleared from shamans, witch doctors, medicine men, medicine women, crones, et cetera, because they have a fuller palette to draw from. With each dimension, again, there are multiple levels of awareness or sub-dimensions, and they're referred to as overtones. Each of the 12 dimensions is divided into 12 overtones, creating 144 levels of reality. 144 is certainly a level, a number that gets bantied around. And again, it seems like a lot. If we're going like, I have to go through 144 levels, absolutely not. It's just the existence of where energies can be along that continuum. And a continuum it can be. The current evolution that was before the Aquarian shift was really about just moving from one place to the next. And sometimes some people will kick and miss a dimension and move farther up. But the vibration wasn't there to let that happen. You could do it in mystery schools. You can do it in very select societies. Some of the great societies that are around that I've played music for, like the Eagles, the Odd Fellows, the Rotary Club, some of those secret societies, the Masons, etc., were built with the idea that they had select information and they could practice it among their members and with the members, and you would learn certain information. The Rosicrucians or another. There are many, many such organizations that unfortunately many have lost their real capacity for doing really beautiful things for the individual, and a lot of them were just bars where people would hang out and we'd play music for them. Now, I'm not saying that's a blanket statement, but that was an unfortunate evolution of some of the lost information and the unwillingness of people to actually begin to be devotees of what they possibly could do. So, feel like taking a moment here before we move into this particular element, and let's do a little activity. Well, let's just keep working the exercise of the actual capacity for us to move between dimensions. I would like you to, again, be present with yourself in your seat. And then I would like you to think of a place. Let's go with the generic seashore right now. Now, knowing that you're sitting in your seat, I want you to recall from memory an experience that you've had and begin to use that as the touchstone upon which you build. You're going to create a seashore area and begin to flesh it out in terms of the details of it. And most of all, what you'll begin to see first is probably visual. So you want to flesh it out and with the visual. Look for certain colors, a certain type of shore. Is it a rocky shore? Is it just a long, long beach? Are there trees at one side, like a tropical area, like an island? Or is this like civilization and you just got a beach like Hermosa Beach in L.A. or Morro Bay, California, or any of these other places where you have a beach that is connected, it is there as a result of civilization having coming up to the ocean, and you have a place to work with the, you know, to be present on the beach. Is it that, or is it secluded? Once you begin to get the visual, you want to look at the color of the water. And if you don't see images, just imagine it. Just say it's there, and just hold that idea that it's there. Again, we're working muscles, and your capacity to use your senses to create a form internally is really what part of the dimensional work is. It's really actively engaged meditation or guided journeys, and we're going to look at that in a moment. So just begin to experience that fullness and begin to flesh it out. You start to get the sensation part. Are you barefooted? Are you walking on the sand? Are you actually in and out of the water? Do you feel you're walking at that zone, the tidal zone area, or the area where water washes up, and you're in that area where your feet get wet with every wave just a little bit? Feel the different textures of the sand. And now become aware, as you are doing this, of your bottom in the seat, and be aware that you are in this room that you're in. And at the same time, be aware of the sensation of the sand on your feet. And the sound of the waves now, the sound of the waves lapping, their timing, the pulse of the wave, the intensity of it, the sound of the gulls, the sound of the birds, the ocean, or the seashore birds that are there, their callings, their connections and communications, the feeling of the wind upon your face, a light breeze, or the spray from the water. And come back, in a sense, by remaining there, but also be aware of yourself in the chair and your feet on the floor in your own area where you are now. At the same time, you still hear the sounds of the ocean and feel the breeze upon your face. Creating separation with your own self through your own awareness and your capacity to move through different places is what you're doing here. Bring yourself all the way back to the room where you're in and empty the sand out of your pockets. All right, so very quickly, these nine dimensions that I just want to bring reference to. And I will refer you to The Alchemy of Nine Dimensions and the book by Ascension Magic as well, if you're really interested in getting into these. The first sphere, the first dimension is the sphere of planetary consciousness, which is referred to as the Gaia consciousness. The Earth itself is the foundational element for all of life on Earth. The specific iron solid core surrounded by the molten area. The solid core is the source point for all that is necessary for us to be in physical form. All the elements, the minerals, the essences, the vibration itself, the texturing, all of the things that are necessary put together come from this collective vibration of which all life on the planet is connected to. It's a very, very, very dense energy, but at the same time, it's a place where we feel a deep connection and a oneness with all things, which is very interesting because it's a time we're moving into as well in the evolution of things, of this interconnectedness. The very iron that is at the core is the very iron that floods through our blood, that is actually an element of the blood itself. It's what makes us up. To begin to expand, to know this connection with the very core and essence of the earth expands and opens up so much. It's the first level of consciousness, and it's what connects everything. The center of the earth actually holds the record of all that has been in the evolution of the earth itself. These are keys, and they are living libraries that we can access if we choose to do so. We attune the consciousness of the first dimension to understand our primal nature and our relationship with the planet and all other forms on Earth. It's an interesting thing. Around 5,000 years ago, according to Barbara Hanclow, there was a collective effort of those who were in power, what's new, eh? Where the decision was that they really needed to make people be afraid of the earth traditions and the earth religions and the power that was being received by design by humans. So the one way to do that was to create a reason not to go into the depths of the earth, and so you had. What a convenient thing. Hell was created. The idea that it's a place that you don't want to go to, and you scare the bejesus out of people so that they don't go there, and they stay away from the dirt, and they stay away from the viscera of the planet herself. Still under the influence of her, by design and by foundation, but being told that this is forbidden land, that you don't want to rot there, you'll stay there forever in eternal darkness, which was always a paradox because it was all on fire. Go figure. And yet people believed it and bought into it. So the first very dense region is one of the most critical that we always, if we are in human form, want to be in connection with. From the core, you move out to the second dimension, which basically includes the mantle and the earth's crust. It's everything below the layer of dirt in your yard. And this particular arena and this dimension holds, it's what is the go-between between the essence of Gaia and humanity. It is through this arena and through this area that the material for life comes, which I referred to as the minerals, referred to as the vitamins, the substance, the dirt, you know, from out of dust and from dust to ashes. That whole idea is a recognition of the deep connection we have. This second dimension is an area that is replete with life, and everything from microorganisms to bacteria up through animals and all in between, including rocks, minerals, plants, insects, etc., and then into the elemental kingdom. And the elemental kingdom are the fairies and dwarves that we used to think about as children because we saw them and we knew them and we had relationship with them. And fairy tales were no such thing. They were just truth stories about the existing world that we saw, but we're not supported most of the time to have interaction with. So it is this vital arena of the second dimension energy that we owe our own form to. There is so much to talk about here, but I've got to move on because we got a lot of things to do. Then you move into the third dimension again. Remember, these are vibrations, and they are a certain density. There are certain characteristics that are all, it's all about. This is the land of humans. It is a land of material. It is a land of formation. And it is, in a sense, the last of the earth-connected dimensions. It is actually the bridge between the lower realms and the higher realm beyond the planetary consciousness on a vertical axis. This whole dynamic sees a vertical axis going from the core out to the galactic center sun. And this vertical core, this axis, is where the dimensions move from one to the next. They are designed such that you have the dimension itself, and then you have a subtle, a limited sort of space, a neutral zone in between that allows integration before you move into the next one. Again, so much information here, but it's something to think about. As the bridge between the lower and higher realms, it's beyond the planetary consciousness, and the humans are supposed to be the guardians and keepers of the third dimension. Unfortunately, it hasn't really happened on a whole. Our task now, as a result of just the evolution of things, is to integrate our spirituality into the physical world and to be a true guardian of third dimension and fully participate in this axis aligning with the other worlds above and below. Do not be afraid of what's below. That is our substance and our foundation. And the more we open to it through the use of the Earth Star Chakra and the Root Chakra and the Sacral Chakra, we find that we draw upon its power. So let's do that right now. Let's go ahead and remember that the Earth Star Chakra is about 18 inches below each of the feet as a sort of cylinder or an oval plate, not a cylinder, an oval plate. And that plate is the membrane that is between the Earth energy and our energy, and it moves specifically up through the left, bringing us that power and presence, sweeps through the body, and then down through the right, cleansing and clearing any lower frequency vibration. What I'm going to invite us to do is to create we're going to do a connection now with the Earth core. So imagine that this Earth Star Chakra, the plate that's down there, extends out a little bit, and you're going to create a pyramid. The base of the pyramid is at the Earth Star Chakra. It's sitting right upon it. The apex of the pyramid is at the sacral center, which is 2 inches below the navel. This is where the juice of life lives. This is where the moments of living are contained. This is where joy and creativity and substance and sensuality and passion and the capacity to breathe life into the earth and to receive life from it and to procreate, all of that is contained in this particular pyramid. And underneath the sacral chakra is the root chakra itself, totally protected and immersed at about the point where the eye on the dollar bill on the pyramid is. So the sacral chakra is there. Just below it, you have the space that contains in a three-dimensional way that beautiful root chakra. So what I'm going to invite you to do is having that awareness there. These chakras are feeding one another and in complete cooperation and connection with one another at this point. The point of the apex at the sacral chakra is piercing into the substance of life, if you will, the moments of living, and integrating and sending energy up through the solar plexus, through the heart, through the throat, and then basically the third eye and the pituitary, and then right out the top through a particular channel. And right now I'm forgetting the name of that channel, but it's not necessarily relevant at the moment. Becoming aware of the base of that pyramid, I'm going to invite you to just visualize it, experience it, sense it, will it, invite it to move downward. It's as if the base of the pyramid is just expanding and heading for the core of the earth. Like roots from a tree, like a trunk that just integrates itself, like a well being dug to pull resources out of the earth, we are sending this connection from our own Earth Star Chakra down and down and down and down and down and down, until it reaches the Earth's core and that solid inner area there, which is the source foundation and the vibration that basically creates life itself. So I invite you to move and allow that core, that cylinder to penetrate and to find its way. It's basically going to lock itself in there so that it becomes a consistent element of support and vibration for you to call upon. Do that. And in the process of doing it, invite the essence, the vibration up, and also create the co-relationship of that area taking on that which you are ready to release and that which you let go of. Keeping you in your power, keeping you in your vibration, a symbiotic relationship that serves both. Okay, so just hold on to that awareness. You don't necessarily even have to think about it again. It's already established and working for you. You can call upon these elements whenever you need them. If you feel out of base, you feel out of power, you feel out of presence, you feel like emotion is welling up, go ahead, call upon the cleansing that can occur. The earth's core is here to serve. This is the connection with the heart of the Gaia energy. Fourth dimension is the space of the collective unconscious, the archetypal realm, and the links to thoughts and minds, the conscious and unconscious of not only humanity, but all of the beings on Earth. It's beyond time and space. Again, it's the astral world. We experience this dimension as the dream world or the astral plane. We can go anywhere or do anything here, limited only by imagination. Our thoughts and ideas manifest much more readily in the fourth dimension because, unlike the third, the fourth is not dense, not bound by the rules of time and space. The fourth dimension forms a screen to the higher dimensions, and as we ascend beyond this dimension of light, we move further and further away from the human experience. This is where things are beginning to get very interesting, if you will, because we are consciously choosing to separate ourselves from what we've known all along, at least as far as our personal memory goes, when we just think about it. And it can get a little bit scary. But if you can always keep in mind of being connected to that Earth's core, then we can remain connected to our physical self, but also expand out to tap into the reservoirs and the resources that are available in all of these other dimensions. And you move into the fifth, this dimension of unity, and the individuality of consciousness merges harmoniously with the group identity of the collective consciousness. You and I identities easily flow into we, and yet individuality is not completely sacrificed. This is where the Aquarian Age is taking us, and this is where anyone who's engaged in ascension, which is going to be in a couple, maybe three or four, maybe the second block, we're going to look at elements of what the ascension process is. We're going to see that it's all about getting us into this fifth dimensional awareness, to live consciously there, allowing ourselves to move back and forth between dimensions as desired, but less and less desire is going to show up for wanting to get back into at least the third dimension. We're going to be expansive and being able to function as humans, but we're going to be so expanded that we're going to have the capacity to make selective choices about what really works for us. This is the promise of the times to come in that form or anything else that might show up in a higher frequency. At this level, we truly experience unconditional love and a commitment to that love. It's called Christ consciousness in some teachings, though we could easily describe it using the name of any other mystic. Paradoxes, all paradoxes are resolved at this level. The idea of separation, we begin to understand deeply. Now, here's the point. These levels have characteristics, information, and elements about them. So what we're learning to do consciously is to tap into them to gather the information and create awareness long before we have actually risen in vibration. Our inner being will take on the information that is useful for it at the frequency of where it is. In other words, there won't be anything to take on that's going to burn your circuits out, because the higher self will regulate that, which is a whole nother set of bits of information here. But the idea, again, is that we can grab and have access. And that, in a sense, is what we're opening up to in these times. We pull in information and awareness that we didn't have before. It's like we have our own internet on an inner level, and the server is actually a place that holds the very information that we desire to get. More on that later. Okay, again, so much information. Just very quickly on to the sixth dimension. This is the realm of geometry, where sacred geometry is basically the design form in that dimension. Now, no, we're completely out of physical body at this point in this dimension. There is absolutely no reason for it. That really what we're doing, it's consciousness and an interaction in this dimension, especially through the specifics of sacred geometry. Sacred geometry is the foundation. It's like the building block from the love frequency for all the forms in the cosmos. You can begin to see the various shapes and forms. You begin to see the triangles, the circles, the combinations, the perfect, the balances and all of that. And in the name of time, I'm not able to go into all of those elements, but this is a very, very powerful dimension that I'm going to invite you to explore on your own. But this is a lot where the ascension energy goes into as well. In the seventh dimension, we have it's a higher beyond the fifth, or beyond the sixth, and shape and form are completely lost at this point. It's a realm of sound. It's cosmic sound. And this is a place where you go into to when you... Okay, how do we even say all of this? It's the realm of the celestial music. It's strictly a land of sound and frequency and vibration that is very, very, well, I can't even say visceral because there isn't even anything to be visceral with. It's an ecstatic kind of experience that occurs. Suffice it to say that if you're interested in moving into the seventh dimension, then chances are you're going to be starting to hear things. You're going to start to hear specific sounds as the chakras clear out with various tones and various kind of textures. What might sound like wind, what might sound like rain falling, what might sound like crickets, what might sound like tinkling bells, these kinds of things as chakras clear themselves out to open us up to be able to handle the frequencies of these higher dimensions. And this is a very important point, is that the purpose of all of this is to expand our vibration to begin to enter into and utilize through first awareness and then choice these elements. All right, I'm going to stop at the seventh dimension because I had a whole host of other things in here that I certainly wanted to bring your awareness to. So it looks like there's going to be an opportunity for homework if you choose to do that. But I think what we've established so far in creating the awareness of the dimensionality of things and how you can consciously use that is really worth the time that we spent tonight. Anything else here is going to be just icing on the cake. I'm going to go to the first one here. The topics are imagination and wonder, meditation and guided journey, the power of perception and choice, time and space, the higher self drives the bus, the dream state, dimensional portals, and the Merkaba, staying grounded, and the Akash and the awakening DNA. You can see that I've been very busy putting this together. So let me paraphrase each of these in the best way that I can. Moving first into imagination and wonder. Imagination is a visceral process that originates in the second chakra, but it plays out in the third eye. What? The visceral process of imagination is the land of the child. The child and the capacity to have wonder and the capacity to imagine, which is to create artificially through the inner vision that which one desires. This is what a child comes to this planet with the capacity to do. The sense of wonder is particularly poignant because the point that it was lost was one of the saddest days of our lives, and we probably didn't even know it. I bet you can remember yourself standing before an object, and you had never experienced it before. And you looked at it. You looked at it closely and you began to notice a color. You began to feel, you put your hand out and you touched it and you felt a texture. You took part of it. You may have leaned over and put your tongue on it because you wanted to taste it. You listened to see if it was talking. And quite honestly, as a child, it was probably talking and you probably were having a relationship with it and exchanging information. And you smelled it. And it was kind of a bright red, and it had these things that looked like little flat parts, but they all came together right at a point in the center, and there was a bunch of different colored kind of yellowy things in the center. And it went down on this green stick, and off the side there were these little cute little kind of triangular things that came off of it, and the texture was always, it was a little rough down there, but then you got really close to it and you tasted it, and it kind of tasted bitter, but you smelled it, and oh my goodness, the smell went right to your heart it was a very familiar frequency to you. And you're having this relationship with this object as a child of wonder, aunt. Along comes a well-meaning parent or friend and says, oh, that's a rose. And the whole thing shatters, and suddenly this object is now a rose. So when you see it the next time, that's a rose. And the relationship you had will diminish the more you learned the names. The naming of things stole, in some ways, our capacity to wonder. And the wonder that a child holds for to the magnificence and beauty of the dimension gets tainted very, very quickly over time. And school is one of the main culprits of it. That's a whole different story. And because of certain things in place and certain energies, imagination and wonder were systematically taken out of children. Because, let's face it, if you don't have imagination and wonder, it's much easier for you to do what you're told. And the many and infinite number of lost childhoods that have happened as a result of the plucking away of the capacity of imagination and wonder, really through atrophy, through no support of its use, is one of the great sins of all time. And I would call that the fall of man, more so than anything else. The good news is that it never went away, and you can reclaim it. Some people reclaim imagination and wonder through artificial substances, psychedelics, and any kind of plant substances that lead you out of the dimension that you're in and expand you, reopen the doors to imagination and wonder. At a price. We are designed to have the capacity, so what we do then is to begin to recultivate it and call it forth. And one of the ways to do that is to turn off the TV more often, stop reading newspapers, start reading books, and allow yourself to see and experience the story itself as it unfolds. I've listed a bunch of ways in here that you can access and activate your imagination and wonder. It is critical for these times to begin to do that. You find ways to do it. I invite you, I implore you to do that, and it will change your relationship with this cosmos. Things don't happen by accident. Your higher self is in charge here, and the things that come to you and through you are all designed for your opening and awareness and remembering of who you are from this point forward. When I move into meditation and guided journeys, these are actual tools and vehicles that you probably use already, but I just wanted to delineate certain elements about each that are useful for the idea of moving between dimensions. Meditation is more of a receptive practice for in its traditional form. You create an inner space and a receptivity by breathing, by doing a mantra, by watching a flame of a candle, by doing something, and you get what's called the monkey mind or the mind, the chatter, out of the way by a real focused intention. When that chatter is out of the way, then you're able to hear the deeper information that is meant for you through your higher self, through your guides, your teachers, through whatever it's going to be. So meditation creates a receptive state where you learn to receive. And the reception is the answer to whatever you brought into the meditation. Beautiful process, powerful process, a bit hard to do in Western culture when people are so invested in getting stuff done. And I got to do this, I got to do that, I can't give 20 minutes to that, I'm not going to do it. I'm thinking of there are ways to do it. Now, a guided journey is a very specific steering through a particular sequence of events and situations with a particular purpose, and the purpose made to get guidance from someone in the forest, someone in the house, someone down the road, to move beyond the confines of the earthly dimension itself into space, to access angelic energies, to get guidance. These are all both very potent sources, and I invite you to explore them both. Because there are many resources that offer meditative techniques. There are many tapes, series, books, etc., that will lead you on a guided journey. And the best ones are really the ones that you sit down and write yourself and record them and just sit and listen to them. a lot of information on guided journeys. Well, not a lot, but there's some in there. And there's actually one that I pulled from, I'm not remembering what I pulled it from, but it's an actual guided journey, and I think it's referred to in there. And if not, I'll make sure it's there by morning. But I'm in the process of putting together guided journeys myself through the use of music, specific focused music on the topic of the guided journey. More on that in the future. The power of perception and choice. This is a critical element in our willingness to actually open up to the notion that there are dimensions. Your capacity to perceive clearly and to use your will center for discernment is based upon your openness. The clearer and cleaner your inner energy field is, that your chakras are, then the more likely you're able to actually see the moment from the higher perspective that makes choices that are in alignment, and make choices that are in alignment. Perception is a combination of third eye clarity, a solar plexus free of energetic debris, and a sacral chakra that is fluid and vibrating in wholeness. Choice requires a solid grounding in the root, a deep connection with the earth star, a strong willingness to exercise discernment, action, and adjustment, and a throat chakra that is capable of expressing the truth of the moment. In other words, these activities involve the entire chakra system. And we're not even looking at the backside or the external chakras. We're just looking at the basic seven. Perception opens the doors to many dimensions. Too often information comes in riding the waves of the moment and its current forms. It is fluid, it's fast, and it's fleeting. If your ability to pay attention with all the senses is activated, then you can catch the subtleties that move through. And each bit of information is multidimensional in that it carries vibrations from each of the dimensions with an accompanying message, guidance, or direction. And honing the expansive capacity we have by design to view the whole at once will reveal what is being delivered. Otherwise, we catch bits and pieces. And too often, we take the lowest frequency bit as it's the easiest and most familiar. The invitation is to begin to learn to look beyond the form. Stuff is happening and we just aren't aware yet. Your perception is the doorway. Perception follows awareness. Awareness brings the attention to it. The perception happens when we have brought our attention to something. We begin to see the elements of it, and those elements will start to reveal the message or the information that's coming from it. The choice rides the moment and moves in an instant in the direction to which you have attended, if you allow it and if you believe that this kind of thing happens. Choice takes the information and uses discernment to pick the evidence and pick the relevance, and move into action. If the solar plexus is not maintained, then a hesitation to act will diminish the power of the guidance. And trust is an essential element to riding the wave of the moment. Trust removes hesitation and amplifies the flow, and the subsequent adjustments is needed. So you're beginning to see that these little simple technique or ideas, of the choice and perception are very, very significant turning points, if you will, openings for you to be able to open up to the capacity to travel between dimensions inwardly and even outwardly. So we have to hone and fine-tune our capacity to make choice, and that is a solar plexus issue that is supported by the foundation of the cosmos, of the Earth itself, which you have already established the most solid element through the Earth's core, to now call upon this to give you the courage, to give you the willingness to take the first step to move towards and to make that choice. The thing about choice is that it's a constant process of choice, adjustment, awareness, choice, adjustment, awareness. It is not a one-time thing most of the time. Too often we get caught into the idea that we have to make the right choice. And if we don't make it, then we are doomed forever. I know people that are mobilized by the capacity of having to make a decision. It's just too hard because they're afraid of the consequence. Now, that's an energetic memory and a residue that's probably in the solar plexus and in the sacral chakra. When that gets cleared, they'll be able to actually make choice again. To choose to follow the ideas that we're presenting tonight is a powerful thing. To perceive what happens when you do leads you down that highway to your own reawakening. If we look at time and space, this element, you can read it yourself. Because time and space is basically a convenience for mostly the third dimension, somewhat into the fourth, but very, very quickly diminishing elements there. Time is a convenience to basically to create a place between where you can put past, present, and future. It is obvious and supported in these times about the nature of the moment, and the now moment is the only real thing that exists because it's a succession of nows. The past is a succession of nows that have already gone by, if you will. It's hard to talk without thinking of time and space. But the past becomes a tool that we can draw from. It is not a determiner of the future. It is strictly information that we can draw from to make a decision that supports exactly what we desire to happen in the next moment. And all of that takes place in the now. Space contains the moment. It's where we are in this breath. And though it appears to be expansive, our true capacity to transcend dimensions and move freely through the supposed time barriers changes the old construct completely. In the current frequency, space is a convenience that allows movement. As a wholly vibrating being, the illusion of substance is held by collective agreement and some of the laws of the third dimension. Okay, I'm throwing out a bunch of stuff here that is relevant to a deep part of you, and your mind might be like rolling your eyes by now. This is the nature of this stuff. It's deep, but it's really visceral, and you can understand it, and it's already doing its work. I invite you to take time to read in this. Not read in it, but read it. Because there's so much, and this is where, and I really invite you to look at this process of involving the sacred directions. The seven directions according to native tradition, which we're being called upon, are the north, the south, the east, the west, the above, the below, which is the heaven and the earth, grandfather sky, grandmother earth, and then the heart or the within. The within is the point that exists between all of the directions. It's the center point of our being, and what we are learning to do, and the invitation here that will really amplify your capacity to move dimensionally, is to create relationship with the north, with the south, with the east, with the west, with the above, with the below, and to open the heart. In this capacity, we are in our perfect vibration. And from that, we can be discerning of how life is showing up. These are not the lands of victims anymore. There is no such thing as victim in this consciousness because we are full players in the process, and we're able to make very, very significant and subtle adjustments that will allow us to achieve that which we intend. And it comes from knowing the directions and utilizing that information to stay at the center point. And the center point that I talk about is really a shamanic point that is actually at the physical heart itself. At the very top, at about 11 o'clock, as you face outward, 11 o'clock is the sinoatrial valve, and contained within it is the pulse point. That's the point that starts the pulse. And this is the electrical point that is the shamanic point that is basically the dimensional door. And this is the place where we move to and fro if you're into shamanic practices. Focusing on this point at 11 o'clock begins to expand the consciousness and the energy and the vibration of the heart to enclose and to expand and then infuse the inner body and then enclose the body and create the cocoon of high vibrational love energy. It starts first by paying attention to that point. And when I talk about in here dimensional portals, and I also talk about higher self drives the bus, the higher self, the soul, the same statement, the same thing, they live in the heart. This is why when we crossed over into the Aquarian age, the heart chakra has now become the root chakra, if you will. It is the center of our being. It is the grounding force in this higher frequency of love, the oneness energy, the interconnectivity that was established from the Earth's core in the first dimension, is now being played out in these higher frequencies. The relationships between all of the dimensions are infinite, and they are beautiful the way they work with one another. You'll notice that not once did I bring in the idea of evil or anything else, the darkness or the Hollywood version of these frequencies. It's not to say that there are people of lower frequency on this planet. There are. And there are things that can bring harm to our physical, but in the big picture, everything is of the light, and everything is along the continuum of these perhaps 144 different levels that we move before we actually transcend beyond this dimension to move into the next. It's an ongoing dance. It is magnificent. It is supported by the very design of the cosmos, and we are being given in many ways the keys to the kingdom in these talks. Not that I'm tooting a horn, I'm just saying that the information is now being gathered to give us that which will allow us to move into these places. I talked about the dream state a bit. You can learn more here. Let me just make a mention about dimensional portals and the Merkaba. There are gateways. There are specific points of transition where you can move from one dimension to the next. You've seen it portrayed in science fiction over and over again. Beam Me Up, Scotty, was basically a portal that would go from the from that room and then put them in a space down wherever they were headed. Stargate, those stargates. You go into the big wheel, and then the next thing you know, you're in an alternate dimension. The idea of wormholes in space, that's how intergalactic travel happens. Instead of doing it for light years, you do it in a matter of a short time because you're in these different frequency-based portals. The portal that we are most used to is the portal between waking and sleeping and waking. The dimensional dance as we drift off into sleep is one of our most potent places of inner programming and release that we can begin to access. As you move off into sleep, the visions, the intentions you hold after the clearings and cleansing you've done will open you up to that which is awaiting you. And we already know the astral is a rich place, with the unlimited by the limitations of the third dimension. But also, when we move into the dream state and we move into this dimension through the portal of day to night or waking to sleep, we also will go into mystery school. We'll move into opportunities to have one-on-ones with the ascended masters. We'll go to the universities in the fifth dimension that exist over the Tetons up in where Saint Germain is, or these things just exist in a higher frequency. It happens all the time. It's what we do at night. In a sense, it's what we do in our sleep when we travel. The challenge is that we don't remember them. All it takes to remember these things and begin to gather the information for conscious use is to create the framework. And that just means by setting an intention and an anticipation that that's what you're going to do. Pad and pencil by the bed. A voice recorder at the bed, a video camera of you sleeping, unusual but useful, could be something that you use to begin to call your capacity to begin to use the dream state to give you the information. You're clearing the emotional life, but you're also gaining information because of your interactions with the higher frequency beings. The Merkaba, I've only talked about it briefly, but I'm willing to pass on a very extensive explanation of the actual Merkaba process by Christopher Penzack, and if you just have to email me if you find yourself piqued by this. The Merkaba is basically using a star tetrahedron, which is two inverted pyramids, and we see ourselves and put ourselves in the middle of these pyramids through the series of kind of rituals and statements and processes through breathing statements, etc., begin to rotate in opposite directions, which then clears ourselves and brings us back to our light body. At the light body frequency, you are then able to intend dimensional travel. It's a common thing that's occurring through people that are especially working with Drumvalo Melchizedek, one of the proponents of this. It has come through some very deep ascended master work through the years, and it's a very powerful gift. The idea, finally, of staying grounded, you know what it's about, but it's a much deeper thing, and the process of us sending a cylinder down to the inner earth is described in this process right here. So go back and explore that, because it's only when you are fully in your body, engaged fully in that body with all of the chakras open and your emotions flowing freely, that you become a high enough frequency then to bring in and handle the frequencies of these other dimensions. So all I'm saying is we just have some work to do. But again, the gift of this time is that there is so much that is being done for us that all we have to do is continue to show good faith by showing up to moments like these that will allow the openings to occur. So I invite you to be anticipatory, to be receptive, to look around now. And in my suggestions that you'll see tomorrow, they are mostly about starting to pay attention and inviting in signals or signs or, you know, small experiences of being multidimensional, of starting to do two things at once, of seeing yourself in another place. If you're really into it, you could start practicing remote viewing. I mean, the CIA and the military has been doing it for a long time, where you basically project your energy to a place and then you just describe what's there. You see what's there. It's very, I wouldn't say it's necessarily easy to do, but once you get into the swing of it, you can start doing this stuff. These are not the times of limitations. It is science fiction run amok in a very high frequency way. The droppings that came in from science fiction and the stories of the past were all hints, were all indicators of what we are capable of, and that's why they were fed to the creators of that. So really it is time to wake up, and that is what we're doing, and realizing that we have the capacity to move in an expansive way between worlds, and we're talking inner as well as outer, mostly inner for now. Begin to see where you can go to learn the dimensions of yourself. Spend time in your root chakra. Spend time in your heart chakra. Get to know the dimensions of it. Get to know how it feels like. These are things we are capable of doing by focusing and honing our intention and taking the action towards that in openness and a willingness to believe and be open to that which comes. And finally, as it's 8:34 here, I just say the idea of the Akash and the awakening DNA we're actually going to address in a course all by itself. This is the Akash is basically the historical element of all your incarnations and everything that went on during that time. And it expands out to really include all that has occurred. Some refer to it as the Akashic Record, but the Akash itself is more of a personal element, that which is yours through personal experience. And it's beginning to show that the DNA, the 12 strands of the DNA that are opening and being revealed actually contain the capacity, the keys to actually begin to access the Akash. There's some magnificent stuff that's occurring right now. The bibliography I'm going to give you, why not work with something that you're really interested in? Having said that, you don't have to do another thing except be open. So, multidimensional living, this was session 5, and we are bringing that to a close. Creating and maintaining relationship with your inner child is our next topic. Next Tuesday night, this is guaranteed to be a fun one, because reawakening and reconnecting with inner child is giving him back the keys to the playground and the tools and the toys to play with, or her, and all of those, but also beginning, opening up the capacity to actually have communication, two-way communication with the child self, and to begin to do some very significant healing work that is really just about taking back responsibility that your child self took on that is really was never hers or his to do. So this is the land where unconditional love happens and where the imagination and sense of wonder will reawaken just by the very fact of giving him a break and giving her a break. So I'm excited about that one, and I look forward to it. I will have your recording. I will have this information finished by the end of tomorrow, and it will be either in your hands by then or by the following morning. I am so grateful for your choice to be a part of this. I hope that it serves your vibration. It isn't just a hope. I know that it does. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. So I invite you to embrace yourself as you go into these areas and these arenas and be very kind to yourself and also invite yourself into new dimensions and new experiences. So I'll stay on the line for a little bit for any questions, any comments, and then we will pull the plug. Thank you so much. Bueller? Bueller?
Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Hi, this is Phyllis.
Hi, Phyllis.
Yes.
How are you?
That was an excellent webinar.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
It was great.
I am so glad. And I'm so glad you continue on with this and it serves you. Absolutely. I know you've danced with a lot of these ideas for a long time, so you probably ought to be teaching the course.
Very, very good. Are you coming up this way anytime soon?
You know I'm going to be up that area in June.
Oh, okay.
One way or another. I've got something scheduled up there, but I'll actually post it on the calendar that never gets updated. I'm redoing my site slowly but surely, so
okay.
I'll let you know.
I hope to see you.
Okay. Same.
Thanks.
Blessings to you.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right.
Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Hey, this is Brenda.
Hi, Brenda.
I just wanted to say thanks, and thank you for making multidimensional living more natural and quote-unquote, normal.
Yeah.
Less woo-woo and less far out.
Well, you're very welcome.
Yeah, it wasn't what I expected, so thank you. Really cool.
Yeah, because it isn't woo-woo. Yeah, it's our design and what we're here to do, and these are the times to do it.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
Woo-woo, it's woo-hoo!
That's right. Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo! Brenda, thanks for being on the call tonight.
Thanks, Mark.
All right. Anyone else? All right, and so it is. And so it is. Oh, and Connie, if you're on the line still, I'm going down in the morning to pick up the parcel. Very excited about it. I was working too diligently on tonight's course to actually get down there today. So thanks for the reminders on that. And if Connie is not on here, then I'm still going to the post office in the morning. All right, so we are done now. So many blessings to each of you on your multidimensional journey, and take good care of yourselves. And we'll be here next Tuesday night for creating and maintaining relationship with your inner child. And so it is, and so it is, and so it is.